So this morning's sort of talk is going to be a game of two halves with a half time where we have to do some work together and have a bit of a conversation. So we're going to spend a little bit of time looking at vision and then later on the service we're going to be looking at leadership. Both of which are really pertinent as we think about where are we going as a church and where's God leading us and how do we navigate this next stage of our journey as a church as we seek direction of what the next step should be. Let's just pray as we come to God's word together. Father God, thank you that we are your church. Thank you for those words of truth that we've just been hearing and speaking of how you are in control, how it's you that determines our steps, how you had plans and purposes for your people of old, and how you still do today. And so, Lord, we ask that you will speak to us and help us to understand the plans and the purposes you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so last year, about this sort of time, we shared some of the vision that as elders we believe God has for us as a church. And it's still up there on the wall, and it's on your cards, on your seats as well. And it's about every adult and every child in Long Ashton encountering the love of Jesus. In other words, it's all about us as God's people, you know, all of God's people in this community being the manifestation of God's presence, being God's body in Long Ashton. And we work together with All Saints and with Christians in other churches. But we believe that God has called us as people in this community to be a light to this community. And that continues God's call on Hebron from 1934. So next year we'll be celebrating 90 years of Hebron. And continuing God's call right from the beginning to the present day and beyond of being a light and a witness in this community. Really familiar verses, I'm sure, to most, if not all of us. But the heart of what God calls us to do as we go out. Jesus came to his disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And then a little bit later, before his ascension, he says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to the ends of the earth," and in our case in Long Ashton and the wider world. So we're called to be witnesses to what God's done for us and to help others encounter Jesus' love. But first of all, it starts with us. It starts with us encountering Jesus' love, as many of us have done, but we need to keep coming back to spending time with Jesus and making sure actually we're rooted in him. And that for me is the big challenge. And that's partly why most of this term, through to Christmas, we're spending time looking at what we've badged spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices, making sure that our hearts are in the right place with God, making sure it's not just stuff that we do, but making sure that actually we're first and foremost making sure that it's grounded in our hearts and our whole lives, the hidden parts of our lives, being in the right place with God, that we're not doing it in our strength, but we're doing it from a place of Jesus' presence and his Holy Spirit filling us. And then as we do that, it overflows from us into our community, into the lives of the people around us. And our heart is very much that everyone in our community, regardless of their age and their background and what's going on in their lives, can encounter Jesus. And again, that's back to the beginning of Hebron that started with children and then grew into a church. And hence why we're explicit about not just every adult, but every child in this community encountering Jesus' love. So that's our vision. Many of us will have seen that before. Getting away. From that, if you're on the back of your card, this sort of is all there, so you can take these away and mull this over and pray about it, and we'll talk about it in a little bit as well. We have three principles, or three values, that undergird the way that we understand what it means to be church for us here as Hebron. Firstly, God's Word. Scripture, the Bible, is our ultimate authority. And we share that with many, many other churches, of course. But we regard God's Word as the basis for all that we do and all that we believe. Secondly, the Holy Spirit, that we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to fill us and to empower us as we seek to live like Jesus in the world around us. We depend on him to illuminate and to help us to understand and apply God's written word, to enable us to know Jesus, that this isn't something we can do in our own strength. And we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit giving us spiritual gifts that we need to be able to lead and to serve and to encourage each other and to be a witness to others. And then perhaps something that's a little bit more Hebron DNA rather than something that, say, all authentic churches would subscribe to, but this sense of community. We believe we are a church in community. That means community with each other, and I think that's one of the things we really seek to build, and has a long heritage of us actually really walking alongside each other and being, in our diversity, being a united body. But also it's about being church in this community of Long Ashton. We live in a village where many people love being part of Long Ashton and not part of Bristol, and there's a sort of sense of identity and pride. We together with All Saints are the representation of God's people in this village and in the surrounding areas as well, when you go up to Fayland and out to Flax. So there's an emphasis on being an active part of this community, participating in it, serving it, witnessing to the people in it. And then, the wrong way again. And then finally, how this plays out. Three things that we seek to do as a church. We seek to walk closely with Jesus in our prayer, in listening and reading God's word, in expecting the Holy Spirit to be at work amongst us, in our worship. We seek to walk closely with each other. So we want to know and love and serve each other. We want to have authentic and honest relationships with each other, where we can be real with each other as we journey in our Christian life together. And then we want to walk closely with the people of Long Ashton, seeking God's kingdom here and seeking to find ways of meeting practical and spiritual needs and helping people to come to know Jesus, as well as I said already, partnering with the church locally and across the city and globally. So whistle stop here, but that's really a recap of where we believe as elders, God is calling us to be as a church, what some of the principles are that undergird all the things that we do, and as we seek how should we move forwards, these are some of the foundations which we seek to build that on. Some verses from Philippians, and then I'm going to ask us to have a bit of a conversation around some of this before we move on with our service. These are words from the Message translation. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have any heart, if you care, do me a favour, agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. If we do that, we will be compelling and attractive and distinctive. So I'd love us just to have a bit of a conversation around this, just where we are, if we can gather into, just turn around in sort of threes and fours, and just for a few minutes. We're not going to ask you to feedback on this, but just talk to each other, really, about what this actually means in practice, because we can put words up on a PowerPoint or on our website, but what does it really mean for us? So some questions for all of us. Do we have vision? we can say this stuff, but actually what is our vision? Why are we here? What brings you back to church each week, to Hebron each week? What do we want God to do? What do we dream of God doing? When we're excited and have that sort of sense of vision, what do we want God to do in us? And also, what aspects of church life stretch us? What's hard? And what stretches our faith, and where are we growing? So 5 minutes or so, have a bit of a conversation around that. We're not going to then feedback here, but we'd love to hear a bit as elders in terms of anything that comes out of that, and then we'll move on with our service.
So the second part, we're going to look at leadership. As we continue to explore the possibility of a pastor, we want to look a little bit at what the Bible has to say about leadership. So I'd like you all to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Page number, I found this. Chapter 2, 9, 10. 1218, if that helps. So if everybody's found it, I'd like us to read it together, if that's okay. I'm not sure if we've got it on a slide. So I'll start us off. 1 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Just sort of summing up that verse, Jesus' death and resurrection makes his followers a new people, kings and priests, people who have received mercy and who are to declare his praises. So we are all ministers or priests. We don't need to rely on a priest to come before God anymore, or to witness to others. It's a team game, and we're all in this together. Every Christian is equipped by God to play his or her part in the community and has a role to enable others in love to build up the church. I think Hebron's pretty good at this team thing. But do we really feel or live like each of us has been chosen and made holy and has a part to play in our community? Because this is something that we can know for sure, for true, and for now. So I'm going to hand over to Peter for the next section.
Thank you, Nini. So we start off that we're all priests. So as we talk about leadership, we're not looking for somebody to come in who is an intermediary between us and God. We're looking at the role of leadership in the context of we're all part of that chosen people with no hierarchy. We're going to look now though at some verses in Ephesians that also speak to leadership. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. If you want to look at that in the Bible, that's the Church Bibles, that's on page 1175. And this speaks of God's calling leaders to equip God's people for works of service. I'm actually going to read it though from, not from the New International Version that you've got in front of you, but a translation by the theologian Tom Wright. So the words are slightly different, but hopefully this gives you a clearer understanding of what Scripture is saying here. So these were the gifts that he gave, he being Jesus. Some of us were to be apostles, others prophets, others evangelists, and others pastors and teachers. Their job is to give God's people the equipment they need for their works of service, and so build up the King's body. The purpose of this is that we should all reach unity in our belief and loyalty and in knowing God's Son. Then we shall be mature and have genuine human life, measured by the standards of the King's fullness. As a result, we won't be babies any longer. We won't be thrown this way and that on a stormy sea, blown about by every gust of teaching, by human tricksters, by their cunning and deceitful scheming. Instead, we must speak the truth in love and so grow up in everything into Him, that is, into the King who is the head. He supplies the growth that the whole body needs, linked as it is and held together by every joint which supports it, with each member doing its own proper work. Then the body builds itself up in love. There's a lot in these verses and a lot that could be said about them and lots of different debate about the meanings. But the key thing I think we want to draw out from this, and I think, you know, the key thing I think that they're saying, is that leaders are given to equip God's people for service so that everyone becomes mature. That's the purpose of leaders, not to do everything, but to equip all of us to be the people that God has called us to be, that we might grow up from children into adults spiritually. And that's those of us that know Jesus already, but the impact on those that don't as well growing. So a leader is there to empower us and not to do. And sometimes it's tempting to think, oh, if we had a leader, they could do this for us, that they could do that for us. And whilst there might be some truth in that, primarily they're there to empower that team we've just been talking about. However, there are five roles that are called out in these verses, and we referred to these a little while back where we did a survey asking for people's perspectives and input on what we might be looking for a leader to, the part we might be looking for them to play. So I just want to have a really brief go at unpacking this, and this is going to do this an injustice because we could spend months looking at them, but I just want to sketch out what these roles are about. So the first role that Paul mentions in these verses is the role of an apostle, and this is probably the most debated, where there are a plethora of different interpretations of what that might mean. Some would say, well, that's about a visionary leader, the sort of vision we were talking about earlier, someone that can really see where God is taking us, or a church planter. Maybe someone that oversees a group of multiple churches, and if we look at the New Testament apostles, they did all of those things and more. Some would say actually the apostles were the eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection, and so we don't have apostles in the same way today, they would say. We might think of a modern-day apostle as someone that has an influence over a wider church movement. So locally, someone like Rob Scott Cook, who has dedicated much of his life into growing church in what he would describe as the Avon area, as was. So lots of different understandings, but there's something here about vision. We arguably don't need that sort of leadership in Hebron because we're a small church within the context of a wider church community. But we do still need, whether you call it an apostle or not, we do still need this sense of where's God leading us? Where are we going? What is the vision that we're called to or not? So in a sense, whether you put the term apostle on that or not, that is part of leadership and how that plays out for us. Secondly, a prophet. At its simplest, a prophet could be defined as someone who hears from God and speaks it out. Someone who hears from God and then speaks that out, whether that's to a church, whether that's to an individual. Someone who has a particular gifting given by Jesus to be in tune with what God's saying in a particular situation, in a particular moment. And some people are given that gift of leadership, that they're able to discern perhaps more clearly than some of the rest of us, you know, what's God saying, and he uses them to be a prophetic voice into individual lives and into churches and into communities and nations. From here on, hopefully they get a little bit clearer. So evangelists, someone that's gifted particularly in sharing Jesus, there's a passion for it, a way of communicating, but also a way of inspiring and equipping others to do the same. And again, this isn't that we outsource all of our evangelism to this person, but they're often somebody maybe that can have the creativity and the giftedness to find new ways of bringing people to Jesus and communicating with, you know, groups and people who perhaps, you know, aren't currently connecting with Jesus and with church. Pastor, and in Hebron we use this term pastor often, yeah, to interchangeably with leader, and we have done in the past. And in many ways that's helpful, some ways I wonder whether it can be unhelpful as well. But in this context, yeah, the pastor is someone who supports and enables the spiritual growth of individuals and with groups through care, through mentoring, through challenge, through discipline, through applying God's word by God's Spirit into individual situations. And then teacher. Teacher is someone who can explain scripture, yeah, particularly gifted in that, who can help others grow in their understanding in a way that doesn't just teach them theology and doctrine, but helps that to bear fruit in people's lives. Yeah, and again, those last couple, hopefully it's sort of clear how that equips God's people for works of service. So the people with these gifts are given to the church for particular leadership roles with this purpose of releasing the gifting in others. And one of the conversations I think we need to continue to have as a church is, well, where have we got some of these strengths already in our team? Where maybe are we lacking and we need more of that? And that will help shape, you know, if we do move forwards with looking to appoint a leader or a pastor, you know, what the profile of that may look like. And then finally and briefly, area to think about as we look at leadership is our motivation. 1 Samuel 8, we've talked about it a few times as a church over the last few years. I'm not going to read it because it's a long passage, but it's the point in Israel's history where the people have had a series of judges culminating in Samuel, and they are now come to Samuel and say, we want a king. And yeah, in time, Saul is anointed as king. But to start with, Samuel rails against this and challenges them over it. And he does that because for a whole host of reasons. But one of the things to take from that is that when they ask for a king, there's a concern that that leader is going to be a distraction from who they are as God's people, distract them, wanting their time, their money, their resources, and to draw them away from God. And we saw much of that. We see much of that in Israel's history, as well as, you know, the kings that had God's heart, like David, that led people into God's purposes and blessing. But much of their motivation was to be like all the other nations, wanting to look the same. And that, I think, is a danger that we need to be aware of as we think, well, why would we want to appoint a church leader if indeed we do? There are lots of really good reasons, you know, someone to equip us, to enable us to mature, to follow Jesus more effectively. But we need to be wary of doing it just because it seems to be the thing that we should do. In Israel, of course, God did allow a king despite despite Samuel's protestations. God had already laid down a long time before Israel entered the Promised Land through Moses, in Deuteronomy 17, God had already laid down some of the principles of what a king would look like. But as they approached appointing a king, Scripture comes with a health warning. If you're to appoint a king, be careful about how you do that, about the role that they play, and make sure that they are leading you into God's purposes and not away from them. So as we move forwards, we need to have that same warning in our minds, to proceed with our eyes open and be considering our motives and what God's purpose is as we move forwards. Let's pray together. There's lots to consider as a church as we move forwards, but let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you give different gifts to the church, gifts of service and gifts of leadership. And as we move forwards, as we ask you these questions, as we ask each other these questions as to what it is you want to do to lead us forwards as a church and to reach this community that we're part of. Lord, we want to follow your purposes, not those of the world around us or even other churches around us. We want to hear what you're saying. We pray that you will guide our steps and lead us into your plans. Amen.